Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Right, well then, if you're ready, we'll start, will we?
Yeah, oh, sorry, yeah, sorry, I didn't realise it's gone. I thought you were still doing something, yeah. But there you go.
No, you see, you can't expect, like, to be fair to you, this is unusual. We're in an unusual situation today in that we're recording it on a different day, the podcast.
Yeah, so we're doing, and it's going to be like this in future. Not that it matters to you, because you always heard
it.
You don't care. It's your download available thing. And, you know, maybe we wanted to change things around, get a day off, like some of you lucky fuckers, as this weekend arrives. Let's talk about something.
Right.
Good Friday. And I want to start this podcast on one sentiment. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. We all said for years and years and years, the government aren't going to tell me we can't get jarred on a Friday and shower the bastards. They should be made work like everybody. Yeah, well, that's the way it is. And I could. What do you mean? I have to go now. What do I have to do? I have to go into a train station or something and buy a ticket to have a drink? It's fucking ridiculous.
Right.
I'm not religious.
I'm intrigued as to where this is going.
Yeah, well, what I didn't realise was we were all be expected to walk when they got rid of that rule. And I'm not happy about it.
I'm not happy about it. You mean not having Good Friday off?
Yeah, it used to be when the pubs were closed, right? For the most part, everybody got the day off. Everybody. It was for the most part.
Yeah.
I remember being a courier and I was made work one Good Friday. I was fucking raging. I basically took other people's messages for a drive around the city because nobody was in any of the businesses.
Right.
So you took messages for a drive was your job.
Right,
and
okay.
Then you delivered them all on the Tuesday because everybody's off, right? And then I remember thinking, this is ludicrous. And then I can't even go and get jarred now because the pubs are out because nobody's walking or anything like that.
It's like
years I was giving out about this.
This is the classic example, by the way, of what we said before about, you know, when it comes to having time off or whatever. That's grand. You think, it should be a day off. That should be a bank holiday.
And
then somebody turns around and goes, yeah, but if that's the case, then, you know, like all the barmen and everything, they'll be off.
Yeah, well, that costs they have to work.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
You know, and all the restaurants and all be sure. Oh, no, now, come on. Don't be ridiculous. Surely to God, emergency services.
I said the bank.
Emergency services. It's a pub and a restaurant. Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
It is an emergency service.
Food and everything is an essential.
It was during COVID. You know, like you know. That's the thing. You know, there's certain people should be allowed to have a day off and there's certain people shouldn't be allowed to have a day off.
Yeah.
And excuse me, but we should be and pubs shouldn't. And that's the rule.
Do you know the weird thing is sometimes... has this ever happened to you, right? When you and I have gone on holidays, right?
Yeah.
Separately, by the way, I just want to point that out. I'm just, you know, but we've been off at the same time, right? We go off on holidays or whatever. Do you ever get those people go to you? Are you ever going to go back in the fucking radio? Are you
all saying? The time, yeah.
And you're like, it was just me. Jesus, how long have you? I've been off a week.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm 2 weeks listening to that other fella.
Would you not go back? Oh, fuck. When
I don't even know the other fella's name. That's rude of you then, because he's been on for 10 days.
And if you're like, many holidays a year do you? I get the same holidays you do. Yeah, unbelievable.
You're never in. Never in.
But the thing about it is,
yeah,
when they don't want to hear you because they're in Lanzarote or whatever,
yeah,
they don't
give
a shite.
And the worst thing is when you go missing or whatever, this is winds me up worse than ever. Whatever about that, carry on. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But the very few times the gym hasn't been on, and then I'm on my own or something with someone else or whatever, people come up and go, jeez, that's not the same at all, is it? It doesn't really work. I'd say you were struggling there this morning, weren't you? You didn't know what was going on. And I'm there going, well, no, I don't think it was that bad. It was bad enough.
Nobody ever saw.
Yeah, they do. It was bad enough. You know, Jim wasn't there, wasn't it? It was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it? It was gas listening.
Yeah, well, at least they listen to you when you're on. When I'm on and you're not on, if I have to do it with somebody else, nobody says that because nobody cares. They don't listen.
They're not allowed to say anything because I'm in a mental home.
They've tuned into a different state. When I'm on my own, it's like, how was the show today? Well, you weren't listening. No, I mean, PJ wasn't on, so I just I was listening to something else.
Yeah, see, Jim gives out about this, but Jim's, like, you know, Jim's fans, right? they are the most annoying people in the world.
Two of them.
Both of them. I've met them both. And I have to say, both of them, they were a pain in the arse, both. Because they did that thing, we've always laughed about it before, where, you know, oh, I love that Jim McCabe fella, he's very good. He's very good. Ah, no, he's very, very good. Oh, no, I know he is. Yeah, I've listened to him for ages. Jay-Z's brilliant, you know. Really carries that show, doesn't he? He does. Yeah. I mean, though, seriously, he's proper fella on the radio. He knows what he's doing, that man. I'm there going, right.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see where this is going, yeah.
Yeah. Like, mind you, the best one.
You'd be lost without him, really, wouldn't you? Okay, fair enough. Fucking hell.
To be
calm
fair,
down.
Before I give you the counter argument to that, the best one of all from that point of view.
Yeah.
Was the time that Kelly's man, Da, listened in. Her first time on the radio, the first time we had Kelly on the show.
Yeah.
When it was announced that you were going to have kids and everything and all like that sort of stuff, and Kelly was coming on to chat to us and everything, and her Da, she was talking to her man Da after, wasn't she? And they were like, yeah, God, it's kind of good job Jim was there.
Good job Jim was there. Get the story across.
He's very professional.
Yeah, Jim's a very professional guy. Very good, you know. Thank God he was there. Yeah.
I was there as well.
Yeah, it was the lament that they wished you were the father. Basically was the message that came across from that.
No, but the weird thing about it is, right, you're saying that, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what I have to put up with. All I ever get to talk about is you. Somebody comes up to me and goes, did you hear your man? Yeah, no, I was fucking on the show with him. Of course I heard him.
Yeah.
Remember what he said? Yeah, I do remember he said that. Was very funny on Richard. Yeah. Oh, he's mad. He's gas bloke.
Yeah.
I remember that time he said, I'm there. I know,
yeah,
I hear him.
I'm sick of that shit, yeah.
And then it's gotten to the stage now where I don't even get my own name. And
what
I kind of understand it.
I don't know what you mean.
Because somebody sees me, right, or whatever, and they think, oh, PJ and Jim. That's what they think.
Oh,
they don't think, oh, there's Jim McCabe or whatever. They go, oh, they think PJ and Jim. They go, oh, PJ. I'm Jim.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
well, then why didn't you fucking say Jim?
Oh, yeah. This is what people do. People have a mad idea, and they think that we do. Like, you were saying the holidays. Here's the other one. So when we go on holidays, it was like, oh, yeah, you're back from your holidays. Yeah, it was. Oh, Jesus, great to hear you back on. Where did you just go? And I'm like, what do you mean? Where did you just go? I'd be like, oh, Jim went. I don't know where Jim went. And I stayed at home. I just went a couple of weeks off. And go, oh, I thought your boat went to Spain or something. I was like, we don't go. What the fuck do you think we are? The fucking nudgies. What are those brothers with the mustaches?
No, Bert and Ernie.
Bert and Ernie, you think we are.
You think we're Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, the two of us going off together, sleeping in the same bed and all.
With our stripy pajamas.
Yeah.
Gee, Bert.
Oh, there you go. We don't go on holidays together. Oh, no, we thought you did, you know.
I think people
you
take think
them at the same time. I'm like, yeah, I know. But it's not because we head off together.
I think people think that we sort of like, you know, live above the studio or something.
Yeah, we go upstairs.
Come down and do the show and then go back up to home upstairs.
Yeah, they do.
Like it's the Big Brother house.
They do. They think I'm in bed and you're cooking dinner for us. You know, I'm asleep on the couch having a snooze and you're there, oh, poor fella. Long day, I'll do the sausages up and have them ready and... Yeah.
Bert and Ernie.
And we have our matching pyjamas then at Christmas, standing beside the Christmas tree together. You know, and...
that would be entertaining. Yeah.
And you're there, Peter. No, Peter. No, Jez. That's washing up liquid. You don't use that in your armpits.
It's exactly the old stuff with... Remember Morecambe and Wise back in the day?
Yeah.
And they used to do those sketches.
Yeah, of them in the bedroom.
And in their house and everything.
Yeah, there
as
is
though
a
they
bit
lived
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, what's Jim like on the weekends? It's like, I've never seen Jim on the weekends, ever. I've never seen him on the weekend. Jim won't even answer my fucking texts on the weekend. Never mind me for points.
It depends on the day and what I'm doing.
The only text Jim will answer is if you're giving out about Manchester United. It's like, Jim, what are you doing? Where are you? What's the story? Do you want to go for a point? Nothing. Manchester United are shit. Yeah, I know. Oh, you see, I fucking know you do, Zayden.
I have to get through a weekend.
Yeah.
I have to get through a weekend, so I'm possibly drunk.
He's terrified that you'd say, I'm in Realmwood.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I better walk down now. Make sure he's not after ordering a pint of bleach.
Did you always get that?
Yeah.
Like when you were doing all the, you know, all the Jake stuff and naked camera stuff and all that sort of, or whatever, did you get all that sort of people... I mean, I know you used to be plagued with the whole kind of, you know, people whistling at you and...
Ah, yeah, but that's all right.
Dirty
yeah,
Elwin that, stuff or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but that's okay, you know.
Yeah.
But what stuff do you mean? Like,
but did they assume that you had characteristics of your characters or whatever? Or did they assume you hung out with Patrick McDonald and,
and
all the rest?
No, what was gas was, you know, during the height of it, when people actually watched television,
yeah,
you know, and it was on when people actually watched TV, not now where, you know, people don't even know. that there's terrestrial TV still exists, you know.
Yeah.
But people are like, you'd be on the dart, you know, and someone would go, what are you doing here? And we're going, I'm going to Bray.
I thought you'd be driving a Ferrari.
You were there, a Ferrari? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Because you're on the telly.
Yeah, RTE and all that. Yeah, I did an Avonmore soup out there the other week, you know. Like, yeah. There was a bit of that, you know.
Yeah, you had to be.
Jesus, look who's here.
Like our...
And you're like, well, who?
Like our mutual friend. What are you doing here? I thought you'd come from Fox Rock or something.
Yeah, I thought you'd be living on Fox Rock or something. That was someone Jim now said that. So where are you getting that from?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Because I suppose they think that some people are mad. They conflate being on telly in Ireland with being on TV in America.
You're a multi-millionaire.
You know, so where you have ridiculous. Like, you know, here you might have a show on TV and you might have 150 people watching it.
Yeah.
And five of them would be in the same house. And then, you know, over...
Been that soldier.
Yeah. And, you know, whereas in the States, you'd have 170 million. And you'd be like, that wasn't a great night on TV. So, you know, so don't realise you can do a whole series here and get to the end of it and go, is there any chance of getting paid? Like, the fucking rent and all. They don't realise it's like that, you know.
And it's a bit similar back to the holidays thing, that way you used to always say that you'd be on holidays somewhere.
Well,
and somebody would immediately walk up to you. You'd be just, you know, whatever, you'd booked your resort or whatever you'd done. And somebody would walk up to you and go, oh, yeah, what? All right for some.
That happened to me in Venezuela. It's all right for some. Now, you're here, you fucker. You're literally here. Ah, yeah, but... Look at you living the high life,
Jez. Venezuela,
yeah,
if you're
fucking here. You're here. Oh. I'd be telling everyone who I seen living the high life.
Because that's the thing.
The ivory tower. You're like, we're in the same hotel. It's fucking there.
I saw you at breakfast.
Yeah, we were eating, you know, yeah.
It's like, you know the way we say you can't win if you're a celebrity, right? Because, like, I don't know.
Unless you're loaded, I suppose.
Yeah, unless you're one of the one extremes, right?
Yeah,
if you're not, right, it's like, if you do something that's perceived as expensive, right? If you're spotted buying your jocks in Brown Thomas.
Well, this is it. Right? I saw Liam Cunningham in Super Value a couple of times up in Colester.
Right.
Yeah.
So if Penny's not good enough for him now. Has to shop in Brown Thomas. Thinks he's better than the rest of us.
If he went to Brown Thomas, he'd be there. Look at him there go. No, you put him with my pair of jeans.
If you do the other thing.
What he does, Liam Cunningham, for instance, in Super Value.
Yeah. By the way, we're not picking on Liam Cunningham.
I am. I'm picking on him. I'm actually picking him because he's such a regular type of fella.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's a huge star, but a very regular fella. So he goes and he does his shopping in Super Value in Colester, right? Now they're all going to be up, all the Game of Thrones loopers will be hanging around Colester now.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah.
But he'd be up there. And you see him, and like your point is totally true. You see him and you go, what's he doing here?
Yeah.
Buying his Super Queen sausages like he can't get them delivered.
Yeah. You know, I would have thought he'd be shopping in Harrods and all.
I can't believe he's out there bringing his own bags and all. Stay him.
You can't win. You can't win.
You're just saying, he's just living his life. Oh, there's no way. What's he doing here? Get your food delivered. Will you be a real celebrity to stay and you hang around with us?
I didn't think he'd cook even. I thought he'd be in the, you know, Cordon Bleu restaurants and all.
Look at him acting the bollocks. I'd say he doesn't even cook that himself.
He's doing that for show.
Yeah, he'd be bringing that back now and smacking his manservant on the back of the head. Get that ready, you bollocks. He'd be going... You can't win!
Do you know who I am and all?
Do you know who I am? I'm in Game of Thrones! You can't win.
You can't win. Anyway, let's give you a few bits and bobs from during the week, shall we? On the show, a few of the best bits that we had. A mad week, all sorts of weird things going on, including what PJ referred to on air as the piss house.
Yeah.
Which took me aback. The fact that it was on the radio when he said it even took me back a little bit, to be fair. But to be fair to him as well, it was a very accurate description.
I honestly think you'll agree with me when you hear it.
100%. And also, we did get a little bit highbrow during the week, ladies and gentlemen. We marked World Poetry Day.
Oh, we did. We did, yeah.
In a very PJ and Jim way, admittedly, but nonetheless, we marked World Poetry
Day.
So
get ready to wear a cravat after whatever poets do when you hear this section of literature.
Wear a cravat.
That's what you do when you're up on it.
That's very true. Yeah. Also, work comparisons came up. You know, it turns out that we're all kind of like comparing ourselves to the people that we work with or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And that never goes well.
And as you know, with the living example that Jim McCabe is, comparison is the theft of joy.
True. You know, very true. It's plagued me all my life.
In fact, it annoys me when people say to him, talk to me about anything, anyone else.
Something that, well, I still haven't worked out which of us is better at this. And which of us, I know I suffer from it, but I mean, small talk.
Oh, the small talk. Yeah, so you're either good at it or you're bad at it, basically, is what it comes to.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just endure it.
Or you endure it, yeah, yeah.
While you die on the inside.
So, having listened to Jim, guess what side of the fence he's on?
Anyway. Have a listen. Yeah. I will talk
once again,
to you.
If you see Jim around this weekend, don't forget to say, Shamrock Jimmy likes us, we're going to get you a
that was for Paddy's Day. It's gone.
Easter Jim, chocolate eggs for him. You have to do that one this week.
Have a listen. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
If you were out and about, as our PJ was out and about checking out the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Oh, I was.
The one in Dublin. They were all over the place. Obviously, there was local ones and all that sort of stuff. And if you were out there, you know, checking it out or whatever, and maybe you were kind of, you know, trying to get yourself a little vantage point and you were having to wait for the parade to arrive to your bis and all that sort of stuff, and you might have been shoulder to shoulder and you might have had to indulge in a little bit of small talk.
You might have, you know,
to kind of keep you going.
Having a good day, yes, isn't it great to get out?
At least the weather held, yeah.
Yeah, sure, the kids love us.
Don't they?
Yeah.
So you might have had to do a bit of that.
All of that small talk, you know, some
which
people...
I'm sure you would have fully enjoyed. Although, you see, you don't have to indulge in small talk.
What do you mean?
Because when people talk, people just talk to you about you. Do you know what I mean? You don't really, like, they kind of, oh yeah, remember the time you were in the taxi and all, and you were doing the thing. And
yeah, or, Jez, it's a wonder that fella puts up with you, isn't it? You'd be doing this head in every day. I get that a lot, you know.
Yeah, they're people with genuine empathy and sympathy for what I endure.
If I was him, I wouldn't go in. You're a head wrecker. I tell you something. But unbelievable.
There you go. At least it's all about you. Well, that's what's important.
You know something? You're right. You're actually right. Yeah. But some people struggle with small talk. The likes of Jim McCabe struggles with small talk because he's too polite.
I'm always good with small talk. I talk to anybody about anything, even though I'm dying inside.
You see, this is it. He's dying inside. It kills him. It eats him. And I will tell you this now. A life coach has given his new 5 rules for being a professional when it comes to small talk, right?
Right.
When I saw that headline, I thought, oh, this is what Jim needs. A way to engage where he's not being tortured by the inane witterings of an idiot, you know. But unfortunately, it's actually going to have the reverse effect. Because if anything, these are his tips, his so-called tips, are going to just reinforce the inane witterings of an idiot. Because it's telling them, so for instance, one of his tips, remember what you say has value because you have value and it's coming from you. So no matter how boring, no matter how mundane,
oh my God,
no matter how ridiculous, no matter how offbeat, no matter how specific it is, you go with it because you are,
wow.
If you find yourself interesting, other people will.
Charter for boring people to kind of... Do you know what I mean?
To feel comfort in.
Yeah. I've never told anybody about my ring pull collection.
Yeah, I wonder.
But I should. Because it's obviously of value and people want to know about it.
Exactly. There's Jim McCabe from the radio. I'm going to tell him all about it. So I started with Pepsi cans back in the 70s. And you're like, doing everything you can to escape.
Yeah.
And then it gets worse. He says, remember that whatever you have to say, it is interesting and compelling because you find it interesting and compelling.
God help us.
Yeah. Then he says that it's all about how you say it. Remember that if you've put energy into what you're saying, then the other person will feel the energy regardless of what you're talking about.
Even if it's generators.
So even if someone comes up to you, Jim, and says, come here, I'm going to tell you how a generator works, right? No, yeah, I won't keep you. Honestly, it won't be more than an hour and a half. How the fuel goes. And if you get enthusiastic about the theory.
So this is all very well for the talker.
Yeah.
Awful for the listener.
Awful for the listener.
So you're telling everybody, look, at honestly, you're a value, you have something to contribute. What you are interested in and what you want to talk about, that's... that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
No.
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 Accept that you've nothing to
offer. Accept and move on with your life.
Exactly. Just accept, like I did. You've nothing of interest to offer to the world.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean? Keep it to yourself.
Exactly. And leave Jim McCabe alone. Trust me, he has to listen to 4 hours of absolute horseradish every single day from me. The last thing he needs is more. You know, the last thing he needs is more. And then it blames the listener for it.
Then
he changes tack and blames the listener. Remember, you need to lower your standards of what a good conversation is, he says. You're walking around there expecting someone to come up to you and tell you the laws of physics or something. And you are, then someone comes up to you and says, how's it going? And tells you about their regular life. And you're like, oh my God, I'm so bored. No, that's not how it is.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're saying...
Can't blame the listener because you're boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and then it says, remember, just to be in the moment. Don't think about what you're going to say next. Just go with the flow. First thing that comes to mind. Follow your instinct. Something Jim has never done, by the way. I'll tell you something, honestly. If I came in here with two biscuits, would you like the chocolate one or the dry one? Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Well, no, I can leave that with me.
There you go. How long do I have? As long as you want. Oh, jeez. They're going to go off. They're going to go off and I'll have to eat both of them.
So you this is—I mean, this is not what I was expecting whatsoever.
No, it's terrible.
I thought it would
advice.
Have been, you know,
it's
much terrible. More about being aware of the other person, aware of what, you know, like, can you honestly look at that person and read them and say, look, they are loving this story about how I made my own jam from furniture parts. You know what I mean? I'm like,
and that's the thing. There's no advice on how to observe the listener. Are they yawning? Are they looking at their watch? Have they turned their head 6 times?
Yeah.
Have they pretended to recognise people behind you? Is that...
Are they physically crying?
Are they physically crying? Have they changed the subject?
Are they talking into a phone that quite obviously is a Snickers bar? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Did they answer a banana halfway through the conversation?
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at
InsureMyVan.ie. You probably heard that expression, comparison is the thief of joy. Do you know that expression?
Yes, I do. I know
tell
well.
You something. And particularly in work, this is where this thing can strike. And I mean, imagine how difficult it is for me.
Well, I tell
you. I mean, I'm here with literally, you know, one of the nation's greatest, most loved comedians.
You're such a flute.
A huge celebrity, adored by millions and all the stars. How can I possibly compete? You know what I mean?
You're unbelievable.
You can't compare yourself with things that are just ridiculously out of your league.
Right, well, let me tell you this.
It's a terrible thing.
Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I finally found out why Jim McCabe actually likes coming to work with me. Because they found out what the three categories are that people compare themselves to their workmates with. And it's job performance, work ethic and dress sense. And he wins in every one of those, hands down. And that's what it is.
Wait,
and that's why he dresses them up in compliments, because he's like, he thinks it's a passive aggressive sort of attitude he has, where he's going, job performance, lad doesn't even know how to use the door into the studio, never mind the buttons. Work ethic. If it wasn't for me, he'd be talking into the light bulbs. He tries to get in out 3 minutes before he gets
but
in.
Hang on, wait,
and
whoa.
Dress sense.
No, yeah, you accused me. You've called me many times. You said I dress like a football hooligan.
You do. You dress like a gentleman football hooligan, and you still look better than I do. And that's a damning sort of thing.
A gentleman football hooligan.
You do. You always look. He looks like a very well-dressed. He looks like a football hooligan that's just got new gear the match.
I'd look like a lad who was the leader at the firm.
Yeah, yeah.
Just mean, yeah.
Or the fella who's just trying to get into it. Oh, just got me new gazelles. Look. Oh, look, he's in as well. He's looking smart.
Excuse me, you're the one that goes around in your expensive, high-printed brands.
Well, I haven't done that in quite a while.
That's
because
true, actually,
I grew out of them.
I haven't seen you with a large horse or a flock of seagulls.
See,
or anything.
I grew out of all my nice clothes. He likes bringing that up as well. Remember the way you used to wear clothes to fit you? That's what that is.
I meant expensive brands.
Yeah.
You know, like expensive brands that the likes of the rest of us could only aspire to. One day.
Do you hear him?
Someday.
Do you hear him? Mr. Fred Dennis? Oh, what's that?
Fred Dennis?
I meant to say Fred Perry.
Anyway, Fred Perry's not a highfalutin brand. You're going around in your Italian unpronounceables and all.
The Italian unpronounceables. I'm going to start my own clothes brand called Fred Dennis.
Fred Dennis.
Jim McCabe togged out head to toe in it.
Fred Dennis.
Fred Dennis. And
his
bucket hat. And the ad will be a fella working really well. Has a great job performance and work ethic. And
so this is what we do, is it? That's how we compare ourselves.
Performance ethic and dress sense.
I don't agree with them.
You don't?
No.
What do you
think? I don't compare myself with any of those things.
What do you
compare? I just want to know who's getting the best deal out of it, and who's getting the cushiest ride. That's what who's getting the, like, all the perks, like you know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you now what you're after hitting the nail on the head with there as well. They actually say people don't judge the money people make, or the perceived money people make, as much as they judge and compare themselves off people who have a work-life balance. You know, a better work-life balance. So if you're like working 60% of the time, you're only getting to have your own some 40% of the time, you might look at someone like me. Yeah, I've got a terrible job performance. Yeah, awful work ethic. And I look like I've been sleeping in a skip covered in super glue for a couple of weeks. But, Jim McCabe, I enjoy life.
Yes.
I do enjoy life.
I am envious of your attitude.
So when Jim McCabe is like still in the car driving home, or when he's coming in here at midnight or whatever time he gets out of bed, some outrageous hour when people are only going in, and he'd be raging and all, and he'd feel great pride in himself for a job well done, which he does. He still is on the way and going, and that flu, he's not even out of bed yet. He's lying there with sausage roll crumbs all over his face. He's going to come in smelling like a dog out of the shower. Oh. And then I'm going to have to be... You are
selling it well.
About me, because ultimately, when it comes to it, you envy the work-life balance. Well,
is
you did before the
is?
Kids arrived anyway. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's different now.
Oh, yeah. Now I wouldn't swap you in a month of Sundays.
Yeah, yeah. Now he texts me...
Been there, done that, bought that T-shirt.
Now he texts me, how's the kids getting on, just so he can see me going, I don't know how to sleep anymore.
Yeah. It's just the joy of getting back all these crying emojis.
Yeah, that's what he loves. When I come in
are
here...
Are you going out for a few pints tonight, PJ? And just all you get back is a few crying emojis. Mm.
You want to see the face of him when he saw how happy he was when I came in, soaked in the rain this morning, sat down at his desk and had a Tim Tam for breakfast.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
You do like an oddball.
I do.
I was almost going to say, speaking of which, I better not say that. Forget I was said that, right? It just so happens to be World Poetry Day today.
Oh, it's World Poetry Day today.
Right?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, right, for those who celebrate it, have a happy World Poetry Day. And it is unusual for us to mention it, because we wouldn't be synonymous necessarily with might be regarded as the high arts.
No, it's like a conversation started here, and we realised we don't know an awful lot about poetry. We started to talk, immediately both of us are like, Wordsworth and all. Like in school, Wordsworth.
The thing about poetry is, right, it's like, God, don't get me wrong, I'm all for your culture. Support, culture and fine and all that sort of stuff. And just because I'm not necessarily into it, like classical music and all that sort of stuff, right, brilliant. But poetry is very kind of, just what I mean, it's very hard to
It's very hard to put your finger on.
To get to, and like, what sometimes, qualifies as poetry?
Well, that's it. Sometimes I don't know if I'm listening to poetry or the script for a weird perfume, feet in the sand, my head runs wrong. My head runs wrong. As the heat comes out of my ears, I feel his hand on my back as I run to the back.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't. Because the idea that it has to rhyme, obviously, is no longer. That's not a thing.
No, especially with this.
You can say anything now, the wind blows hard across the land.
Yeah.
Two trees over. What's, you're just saying words. There's nothing there. It's just.
Is this, are we playing I Spy? I Spy with My Little Eye, two trees, man in the distance. Yeah. And then there's that slam poetry thing where it's not even about what you're saying. It's just how you say it. So, it's people go, and I talk like this so you can get the point that I'm serious. But then I speed up because I'm feeling a little of angry. And then I slow down because I've got your attention. And now I'm getting angry again.
What's that called?
That's slam poetry, yeah.
Slam
Absolute
poetry.
Absolute nonsense, yeah. Yeah. It's basically there. It's sort of an art form, if you could call it that, for people who can't write a song. I think it's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would
rap, is rap poetry? Just a meme.
Well, this is it. You don't know. And then you get people they say to write poems and all, and they really overrate themselves. You'd be there going, so what do you do? Is it your job? No, I print them on towels and give them to my family. for birthdays and stuff.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Like, oh, right, okay.
Poetry
yeah.
seems like it's kind of, you know, quite highbrow and stuff like that. But, like, you know, if you did rock out with a sort of, there was a young man from Nantucket.
But that's it.
Does that qualify?
Does that count? And I'll never forget, I had an uncle once, and a very poignant moment, and he turned around. I'll never forget it. It's still in my head. And he goes, like, you know, everything changes. It all stays the same. Everyone's guilty. No one's to blame. Every way out takes you back to the start. Then everyone dies and breaks everyone's heart. And I'm thinking, oh, my
wow,
God, that's very poignant.
That is deep. That is.
I was like,
God, I'm impressed by
that.
That
William... Dylan Thomas or someone like that, and he goes, "No, it's Motorhead." He goes, "Lemmy from Motorhead."
See,
it's from a Motorhead album.
There
yeah.
you go. So if you just don't put the music to it,
yeah, if it sounds
you
know, yeah.
So if you were to go, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, yeah. whoa, living on a prayer.
I must remember this from when it's Jim's funeral. I'll get up and I got to say, I wrote a poem and I wanted to say it to you. How can we be lovers if we can't be friends? How can we start over?
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Yeah, have you seen all these Netflix shows? It's like, and they make it out like it's a really good thing. Like it's, you know, great in society where someone goes, I'm after buying a caravan and putting down foundations. Now I've figured out how me and four kids can live in a 2x2 square on top of each other. And everyone goes, wow, isn't that brilliant? It's not brilliant. It's desperate that people have to live like that.
Those videos that you see on social as well of those like houses that kind of either fold out.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Do you see that?
Utter crap.
Or you get, again, as you say, people explaining to you how they can fit a living room, a kitchen, a bedroom and a whatever else in something that was previously a garden shed.
Yeah, yeah. We bought a bomb shelter. You know, all this stuff. And it's they sell it like it's a great thing.
Yeah.
We live in a bomb shelter in Cardiff and it's absolutely great. Who needs windows?
I love those, you know, those grand design programs. Grand design. You know, where they're doing some sort of massive renovation or they're doing, like somebody buys a... I don't know, medieval castle or something.
Yeah,
whatever.
But that's...
It's fallen down and whatever. Or they convert an old barn.
Yeah.
I love all that.
I like it, but I'm thinking, why people shouldn't have to live in cow sheds? And now this is the worst one I've seen. And again, they're making it out like it's a great thing.
Right.
So somebody's bought an ex-piss house on the seafront.
Sorry, what?
A piss house.
Hey, come on. It's not officially called that.
It's what I'm calling it. It's an old toilet block. It's sold. Wait to get for this. It's sold for 8 times more than its asking value, right? In Cornwall. They call it, and wait, imagine this was your house. The loo with a view. A seafront toilet block that's been sold for 170,000. The initial asking price was 20 grand. This is how desperate people are for a place to live. And they said it's a rare and exciting opportunity to acquire this detached former block of public conveniences with land on either side. So now people are going to be living where other people used to relieve themselves. And they're going to do that thing. What a great idea. Yeah. Imagine the phantom.
Look what you've done with the place.
Yeah, amazing, yeah. So I'm basically there. This is the master bedroom. This is where everybody used to come in and drop a plop. But down here where the old sinks were.
Close to the kitchen.
Yeah, you might remember down here, there was a man murdered here a few years ago. This is where we've put in the sitting room.
Yeah, a lot of illegal drug deals went down just the outside of what is now our dining room.
Yeah, the dealers are still in the garden if you want to get anything. They're still here. They haven't gone away.
Wow.
You know, you're like, this is getting...
You'd have to take the opportunity. The minute you walked in and they showed you it for the first time, you'd have to go, my God, this is a shit. No.
Yeah, absolute kid. Actually, no.
But, so hang on. Yeah. So basically, just to get this in my own head, right? This would be like if you were on, say, Bray Seafront or somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's like... Actually, is there even public... I'm sure...
On Bray Seafront.
Okay.
There is, yeah.
And there's a public toilet there.
Yeah, there is. There's a big block exactly like this in Bray.
So like buying that.
And then
living in it.
And imagine drunks and all trying to get in and everything. It used to be. I used to do slashes in here for years. Imagine your guests. That's gas. God, I used to come in here for years now.
I remember one time going a bit too far and I had to throw up all over the...
Yeah, where your kitchen is. I got sick all over there years ago. Brings back great memories.
That's... Wow.
Great memories, yeah.
I mean, I've seen some mad things, you know, people converting water towers and all that.
But
so a public toilet.
Public toilet, yeah. And like, you know.
On a promenade, effectively.
On the promenade. All your kids know. Do you live in the old cack house up the road?
I mean, that's the other thing as well. It's never going to lose that.
Imagine every the amount of phantom smells I'd get out of that now every time I lived in it. Every time I woke up. Do you smell? Did someone stand in it or is it coming through the floor? You do that all the time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Someone's after standing in it. No, we didn't have work. It's built on it. You're built. Your whole place is built on it, you know.
Jeez.
There you go.
As you say, it's the idea that they're making it out that it's a great thing.
That's the thing. Making it out like it's a great thing, yeah.
Prime location.
Yeah. I'm after doing this great. I have a great idea for a gaff. I'm living underground in a graveyard of glass walls. Can't wait to see it.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
There we go, some of the best bits from during the week on a short week as it was.
A short week
as it was. Didn't feel it until Friday.
No,
came.
It never does. And I will give it to Jim. He does everything he can not to bring it up, right?
Yeah.
You know, because he comes in and he says nothing on Tuesday. He says nothing on Wednesday of a short week, you know. And then he says nothing on a Wednesday. And Thursday morning, he reads the room. I know, and he goes, feels like a long bastard of a week. And it fucking does. It does. And I don't know why that is.
It is. And it's always the Thursday.
It's always the Thursday. You go, how is it not Friday?
Exactly.
Why does this short week feel like a longer week than a normal week?
You come in on a Tuesday, you think, geez, it's Tuesday. Oh,
I can see him thinking it for 2 days before he says it.
And Wednesday, oh, geez, hump day, you know, middle of the week, well, look at that grand.
Yeah.
And then Thursday comes for some reason, it's like, fuck me, it's still this week.
Why am I dying for a pint at 8 o'clock in the morning? I can't get out of here fast enough. And I don't know why it happens like that. And it always does.
And there's more of them to come.
And there's more of them, yeah.
Well, next week... Oh, actually, I'm not going to bring that up. Next week is a short week for some, not for us.
Not for us.
But based on
how
you
Friday
started this podcast, I'm not going to bring that up.
Yeah.
But you are working.
Because we walked ourselves into a scam of losing a day.
Yeah. I think we've been... It's hard to know who to blame.
It's all Catholic Church. Fault. No, it's us. Not. The Catholic Church wanted to keep it. They, Catholic Church, were all for bags of cans.
Yeah.
In fact, that was literally their policy. Stock up in your cans now on Holy Thursday. Priests used to say it.
Yeah, from the pulpit.
Get your, hope you all have your cans. But tomorrow, don't forget, it's big day for Jesus. Fish only, no crack. It used to be the thing. We threw it away.
Yeah.
I'll never forget.
Again, that may or may not be accurate. I don't know if you'll find that in the Bible, but you
word
never know.
Word for word.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.